And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatoon and the Concord Group of Companies. Also brought to you by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team, and by Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent or rent one out next camping season, check them out online at wheelestate.ca. I'm joined by, you know, this guy would be probably considered the voice of university football right across the country. I know different teams have their own voices like myself, but this guy is kind of the face of football in Canada as far as the media goes. From Crown Countdown U, both the radio and TV edition, it is Jim Mullen. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, and earlier today I was caught for words for once in my life.
Are you referring to the Regina Rams situation?
I have never heard a ruling that has flummoxed me so much than that particular ruling, where they are okay with a player that doesn't live up to their bylaws, but are still willing to stand by a decision based on a decision of that player that it does not match up to their bylaws.
Yeah.
It is absolutely insane. And, you know, I was sharing this decision that came down with some of my friends on Crown Countdown U. You know, we were laughing in that, you know, maybe it's a grand conspiracy out there. Maybe they just want to take the House of Football and burn this thing to the ground. Because how else can you you come to the conclusion of these guys making decisions like this? Like, this is beyond the pale. You mentioned a term to me which I was sharing with them. I guess these guys are a little pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be happy.
I guess they could suck and blow at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable.
You can't be half pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. But I did a little. And the thing is, I'm trying to get the U Sports people to call me. They won't return any calls.
No, they won't. They won't. They're under a rock somewhere. They don't care. And they don't care about communicating with you.
No, so I did a little digging myself, okay? And I'll protect my sources. But here's what I found, okay? After an exhaustive day. What happened was the kid in question, when he was in the States, I guess, he was working two jobs and sleeping in a car just so he could afford to go to school and couldn't make the necessary credit hours. So they have given him a compassionate pass, so to speak, here, so he could play the last two games. They said, had the Rams notified them, or the University of Regina more so, notified them of this story earlier in the season, then those five games would have counted towards the Rams' record, meaning they'd have three wins, now four wins. But because it wasn't made aware till when it was made aware, that is why now they're just giving the Rams the opportunity to add this player to the roster on a compassionate basis. So it doesn't really clear anything up. But that's what I found out. The kid...
Ballsy, I'm going to clear this up for you. You know what this is? This is pure politics.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? Good on them for having a compassionate appeal for the player in question. That's a good thing. But the politics of this are simple. They don't want UBC or Alberta or any of the other teams that are affected by this getting a lawyer, lawyering up, and turning this into even more of a you-know-what show than it is already. That's what they see. They see the numbers lining up against them, so they come up with this half-baked idea and this half-baked ruling that just has everybody across the country, those few of us who are still paying attention, by the way, shaking their heads at it. And it's all about politics. That's the one thing that I've learned about U Sports. And it took me a long time to learn. I'm a slow learner, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you're not walking into a business structure. You're not walking into an educational structure when you're dealing with these people. I learned this at an AGM 2 years ago. You're walking into a political convention. And everything these people do is based upon politics.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Jim. And you know, we talked about this on your show when you had me on last week on Crown Countdown U. Thanks, by the way. I like being on with you and Hoagie.
Oh, it was a blast.
Yeah, it was great. Here's the thing. They treat all university sports slightly better than participation sports. And until they stop doing that, everything we're talking about is useless because they don't care. So Jim Mullen can do a great job promoting this this sport across the country. They don't care. Michael Ball can start this podcast here called Growing the Game with Ballsy in Saskatchewan, and they don't care. It makes absolutely no sense to me. And that's kind of, you know, and then it kind of trickles down to the teams. It's reflective on the teams. You know, the only heat the Rams have got in the last 5 years outside of Noah Pickton getting the Heck Crichton Trophy, which was kind of a blip on the radar screen, is what's happened to this team in the last 2.5 weeks. And it wasn't reflected in the stands because nobody came to support the team when the U of A Golden Bears were here last week. It was dressed like a seat night, and it was a more than a good turnout. Is there any way to save football and make it bigger than it is?
Let's start in Regina, and let's start with the Rams. And I know there was a great deal of pressure on the Rams organization from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to be part of the family, to be part of the sports family in Regina, to ensure that new Mosaic Stadium was built. And I know a lot of that was tied to the 50-50. But now that that stadium is there, and it's a fantastic facility, and it serves the city well, is it not time to rethink what the Rams do with that facility? And what I'm talking about is one game a year is your big game.
Mm-hmm.
And that one game a year is against the Saskatchewan Huskies. And that's a game, marketing-wise, where the Saskatchewan Rough Riders can join in and try to fill the lower portion up like it was on that first day that we did the opening game
right
out of Mosaic. You should be able to get more than 10,000 for an interprovincial, a provincial rivalry between those two teams in that building. You could have a special energy. You could have a different energy. I think what we've seen with the Ottawa Redblacks and OSEG working with the Panda game and the two universities in that town, Ottawa and Carleton, is something that could be replicated for that one big game a year in the big stadium in Regina. And then for the other games, move to Libel Field. Get out of the big stadium. It's too big of a hole to fill up. Create some atmosphere, create some family, create some energy around the game, and it's closer to campus. It just seems to be a no-brainer to me. Once again, there's a different level of politics, but politics is getting in the way again.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Jim, and very astute. And you're right. More energy, create demand. Maybe if it's harder to get a ticket, people will want to pay more for tickets. It's all marketing. But you even go to the University of Regina. Let's talk about the University of Regina for a second. And I mentioned this on your show. You've got Akeem Hicks, arguably the second, well, he is the second best player on the Chicago Bears, played for the Rams. Stephon Charles, for a spell, played in the National Football League, right up to last year when he was on Kansas City's practice roster. I mean, you had John Ryan win a Super Bowl. Brett Jones is in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings. You walk into the University of Regina, I'm not talking the Rams little area, you walk into the University of Regina, you'd have no idea those people walk the floors of that campus. It is embarrassing. I don't know why we treat ourselves as second-class citizens, why we don't support, like, you know, Noah Pickton. There should have been a sign outside of, a billboard outside of Mosaic Stadium saying the home of the 2016 Heck Crichton Trophy winner. Come watch Noah Pickton play here. Like, we don't promote we don't do anything at the university sports level.
Well, part of that's on the university,
yeah,
and
is.
Part of that is on the Rams. Like, they both share in this because that's the way the structure works. But on the university side, with their brand out there, what do universities aspire to? They aspire to excellence. What you just listed there was excellence right across the board. So would they not want to amplify their brand by tapping into that excellence? Also, part of university that drives it is youth culture and youthful energy. And what encapsulates that energy better than a college football game that brings the community together around it? It's amazing to me that in this country we just don't get it right across the board. UBC is starting to pick up on it a bit. They get two or three well-attended games in the 9,000 to 6,000 range. That takes work, okay? The university's not willing to work at it. Maybe the Rams organization doesn't know how to work at it. But you know what? It takes a couple of dedicated individuals to roll their sleeves up and get working on it. None of this gets done without hard work. Money, support, priorities from the university, those are all very important. But unless you've got foot soldiers there that are willing to do the work, to make it happen, to reach out to other people in the community, you're going to continue bumping along like you had the other night. I think you had 700 people out at Mosaic Stadium. That's Friends and Family Day. It's like somebody left the back door open and just let people wander in. It's not an event.
Find a way to
make all four games an event. I think I listed that earlier with Saskatchewan versus Regina. I used to try to call it the Wheat Belt game to try to get it try to get some energy around it, and then go to a place that you can fill.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. Jim Mullen joining us here from Crown Countdown. You, Jim, just a couple more questions for you. You've been banging the drum for a very long time. I'm most recently on it because I'm getting acclimated to it because my kids are now going down the path of choosing university football and what to do is in grade 11 right now. But we in the States, you got a clearinghouse. You pay a fee, you're part of the clearinghouse. Teams can't recruit you unless you're part of their eligibility center, the NCAA eligibility center. You know, with this fiasco that happened with the Rams, and it's not just happened to the Rams, it's happened before, and we're told it's going to happen again, which is, wow, isn't that comforting? It's going to happen again. Should we not invest in a clearinghouse? And failing that, I think you also proposed maybe we look at getting a commissioner that can independently rule on something like this. Couldn't all the university football teams throw in some money to pay a salary for an independent body to look at this and say, this is garbage. We're penalizing 103 kids here.
Well, it reflects poorly on everyone's brand right across the 27 teams that compete for university football in Canada when something like this comes down. So why would you not want to invest in an insurance policy to ensure that this never happens again? That's my approach. When people complain about, can we afford another $2,000 or $3,000? Of course you can, because the price that you're paying for this story, the price that you're paying for the story out at St. Mary's, those poor people at St. Mary's and those poor taxpayers in Nova Scotia have spent $447,000 in legal fees defending that one. That is just beyond ridiculous. You need that layer there. And another thing, with this ruling that came down today, do you think an individual who was in the limelight, who would be responsible for making that kind of decision, would make a decision like this? That's why U Sports isn't responding to you. They're all hiding in the shadows. No one's stepping up and taking responsibility. One of the biggest issues that I have out of this whole Regina fiasco and the forfeitures that we've had over the last 10 years, 13 of them over 28 teams, nobody's lost their job.
Yeah.
Like, there's no responsibility at all across this. It's dumbfounding that you can have such a direct negative effect on your team, your community, your brand, your players, your coaches, by not following through on doing your job properly, which is a very important job, and not pay the price for it.
Yeah, somebody at the university should walk the plank for that. Absolutely, because somebody there should walk the plank, and somebody who came down with this ruling at the national body should walk the plank. It is absolutely ludicrous. I want to wrap this up on a nice note, though, because you've seen him play more than me, and we just recently welcomed him into the fold here with the Rough Riders. Dakota Shepley, fifth overall pick for the Rough Riders in the draft, went to the Jets camp, and now is with the Rough Riders. What does he bring to the table for Saskatchewan, former UBC Thunderbird?
Well, first of all, he's a great guy, and he's a big personality, and when you get to know him in that town, you're really going to like him. He's actually a budding extra and actor on the side on top of that. The reason the NFL took a look at him is because he had all the measurables. He actually reminds me of Bob Beveridge, who played in the East-West Shrine Game coming out of UBC. Same sort of size, same sort of temperament, same sort of intelligence, both very intelligent characters. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to acclimatize into that lineup if he makes a dive. I believe he's on the practice roster right now because he's still open to maybe a secondary NFL opportunity. But this is a guy that's going to fit in and do well, I think, in Saskatchewan. And the community is going to love this guy.
Yeah, I interviewed him. He's a really great kid. Hey, you're a really great guy, and we appreciate you stopping by here and growing the game. And a reminder, you can check Jim Mullen out of Crown Countdown. You, where can they find your work if they want to check you out?
Okay, the TV show is available every Wednesday on cbcsports.ca. You just go to videos. We're now listed in all of their topics. I think we're right beside the Calgary Stampede. If you got CHCH in your home, which I think is carried throughout Saskatchewan on some of the cable services and whatnot, we're on at, let's see, that'd be 11:30 Eastern. You do the math on that. Yeah. I think you're 2 hours out from there. That'd be
9:30
where you are on Thursday nights. And the radio show is available over on the TSN 1040 site, or it's available on iTunes. Crown Countdown U Radio, available on iTunes. And I tell you what, folks, if you haven't heard last week's KCU where Ballsy was on, and you want to hear a human's head blow up on radio, listen to Ballsy in the National Roundtable with us. It was a radio gift that just kept giving.
Yes. Yeah, thanks, Matty. I kind of lost it. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Beautiful.
It was in the moment there. Hey, thanks for taking time out, Jim. I appreciate it, okay?
Anytime. You're always welcome.
This is Growing the Game with Ballsy. We're joined by a receiver for the Regina Thunder, Lee Brown. Lee, in your fourth and final year, boy, it's probably flown by pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't even feel like, I can't even remember my rookie year. It feels like it yesterday, honestly.
You don't remember your first game in junior football?
What would it have been? I think it would have been my second year. I think I would have popped in a few times there, but didn't start. But, yeah, I think it would have been in Regina against Winnipeg.
Do you remember your first touchdown?
No, I actually do not.
Really?
There's been a few, yeah. No, I can't think of what my first touchdown was. But
what are you going to miss most about playing with the Thunder when it's all done, which hopefully isn't for a few weeks yet?
Yeah, just the locker room, the atmosphere in the locker room, just being around all your friends all the time. It's honestly nice coming off of work, not having to worry in the world, just being able to play some football with the boys.
Where do you work, Lee?
I work for a refrigeration company. It's called Precise Temp.
Cool. So is it tough juggling a football kind of career and juggling work life?
It's not bad. My dad's my boss. He's been unreal to me. So he's treated me really nice. If I need any time off or if I'm going to be like on the Edmonton, for example, and I need to leave early, he's all good with that. He's been unbelievable for that. So I'm thankful for that.
Got any plans after your Thunder career, what you want to do?
I think just pursue my refrigeration career. It's been, I've enjoyed my career so far. I'm going to my third year for schooling, and then so just continue with that and then see where it goes from there.
That's excellent. Okay, so what's your favorite thing about football?
Just, like, the competition. Like, knowing, like, it's a one-on-one battle at the end of the day. Like, I'm going to cross from a DB, so I just love that competitiveness and bringing out the competitive nature in me and knowing that the guy across me that I'm better than him and I can compete the whole game, and I just enjoy that the most.
If people haven't watched Lee Brown play, describe your play for us. Give us the Cole's Notes version. Give us the scouting report on Lee Brown.
Bigger guy, not gonna outrun you. Routes are all right. I don't know. I can catch the ball. I don't know really, but yeah, he's not gonna outrun you, but he might beat you on a route or two.
Yeah, you're a possession guy. You like to be physical. You use that physicality.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Okay, Lee Brown joining us here from the Regina Thunder. Okay, let's go inside the locker room. Who would win an arm wrestling match on the team?
Oh, God. I'd have to go with Braxton Turnbull or Carson Bell, the D-lineman.
Okay.
Not sure if anyone could beat those two.
Okay. Who controls the bus on the road? Like, who's the leader in the bus? Who tells everybody where to sit? Or it's kind of like the godfather of the bus on the road trip, as far as the players go.
Well, the O-line always take the back of the bus. And then from there on, it's kind of the veterans kind of – I always try and find where a plug-in is so I can charge my phone. But other than that, it's kind of free-for-all wherever you go. If you get there early, you get to pick. If you get there late, you kind of sucks.
What's your favorite app on your phone? What do you like to do on your phone?
Oh, God. Well, personally, I try and sleep the whole road trip because I hate bus rides. So I try and lay on the floor and sleep the whole time. But other than that, I don't know. I probably just scroll through my social media, do that kind of things.
Yeah, where do they find you on social media? Where can we hit up Lee Brown on social media if we want to?
For my Instagram?
Yeah.
You want my username?
Sure, what the heck?
Lee G. Brown. But, yeah, I know you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm into all that stuff. So,
what's your favorite part of social media?
Just kind of staying up to date with people. Like, some people you don't see that often. You get to kind of stay with the modern day and what they're up to and see it, like how the kind of, I guess, the city you're in is kind of expanding all that.
So are you a gadget guy? Like, do you have the latest iPhone or latest phone?
I'm not really huge into gadgets, honestly, to be honest with you. I'm more of an active guy. I like to be active.
What do you like?
You know, my phone can make me go insane, but
yeah.
Sorry, what was that?
What do you like to do besides football, then, if you're an active guy? What do you like to do away from the football field?
I like to keep myself active, so I like to do, like, recreational. Like, I'll play some flag football, do anything like that. I sometimes just, like, recreational sports in that way. I go to the gym, I do that. I just can't stay at home. I'm not that guy to sit on my play video games and do that. So I got to keep myself active. I will work and do that stuff. But
so you're not a video game guy? You're not, like, a Madden guy or anything like that?
No, not really. I can only play that for so long before I go insane.
That's outstanding. I like it. You're an old soul at heart. I love it. Lee Brown joining us here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Okay, so the lottery on Friday is $60 million. Lee Brown wins $60 million. What's the first thing you're doing besides probably crapping your pants and yelling and maybe telling your dad you quit? What's the next thing you're doing? What are you buying?
First off, I'd probably repay my parents because they've done so much for me and done all that. But
that's boring. That's boring.
No, I'm getting into it. Don't worry. I'd probably buy a house somewhere down south, get away from everything, just somewhere you can just get your mind off everything. Around a lake, probably sit on a boat for half the day and then just sit at a house.
You like fishing or you like suntanning or you like doing both?
I like relaxing on the boat, having a few beer, doing that thing. So
yeah,
that's just a relaxing type of guy when you can get away.
That's the way to do it. Hey, back to football. It's been a frustrating season for you?
Personally, when I'm on the field, I feel great, but it's been a little frustrating, kind of the injury stuff, just on injuries that he can't really prevent. So that's been kind of frustrating. But other than that, I think we've had a pretty good season. We're coming in. Our offense is starting to click now, so I'm really excited for playoffs.
So you've had some, like, nagging, like, leg injuries, or what kind of injuries have you had?
I had a concussion.
Ooh.
I've been dealing with my hand, too. I hurt my hand at the start of the season, and it's been kind of nagging me. So, but, no, I should be good, coming off my concussion. So, no, other than that, no. Feeling pretty good.
Do or die for you guys, Lee, and do or die for you and your football career. Are you soaking it all in this week?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to take everything in. You never know when it's your last practice. And honestly, I've never not played football, so it'll be interesting. So I don't really want it to end.
How long have you been playing football for, Lee?
I started in grade 11 at Campbell, so not that long. I guess 6 years.
So what's the prospects against the Huskies? You guys go up there in a big game against them, two versus three. What are your prospects? I know you've had a couple of tough battles with them this year.
Yeah. Going in there, our offense definitely has to move the ball. We're going to have to establish a run game, and then we can pass after that. But we're definitely going to have to establish both pass and run as an offense. And then defense, they're just going to have to do what they did last time, create turnovers, put the offense in a good position. We're going to have to put them in a good position, too.
I'm assuming you're not looking past the Huskies, but I'm assuming you'd like one more shot at the Hilltops.
Oh, absolutely. I love playing them that game. And they're at that SMF field, too. I always like that game. It's just awesome. So I really hope we can get past these guys. I'm not looking ahead, but I just think we can do it, and I'm excited.
Lee, thanks for this, and best of luck, Lee Brown. We appreciate you stopping by and growing the game.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, and it's brought to you by Wheel Estate, by our friends at Pizza Hut in Saskatoon, and by Paul Waldo here in Regina at Royal LePage, the home expert team. We're joined by Josh Iwanchina. Is that how I say it?
Yes, sir, that is it.
Iwanchina, that's a mouthful, man. And you've been a handful for defenses in the Prairie Football Conference. Outstanding running back with the Saskatoon Hilltops. 4 straight Offensive Player of the Week awards. That's outstanding. Talk about being in the zone, because I'm assuming that's what you're in right now.
Yeah, definitely. It was kind of a rough start to the season for me. I didn't think all these things were possible, with everything going on. But with the same O-line coming back from last year, same quarterback and same coaching staff, it definitely helped me, push me to the top of my game. I didn't have to worry about everyone else doing their job. I can just focus on my own. And more importantly, I just wanted to do my part for this team to keep the streak rolling, you know, going for a drive for five.
Hey, Josh, why was it a rough start to the season for you?
Just with our alumni game, I kind of had a little tweak in my ankle that kind of slowed things down for me. I missed that first game just due to a minor injury, and I've been battling that all season, but it hasn't seemed to be stopping me come game time. I just kind of get into the zone and, you know, take what coaches said from the past. You know, it's a mental game for sure. All that physical stuff, you know, you'll feel pain. It's only temporary, so you just got to put that stuff behind you and then focus on what's in front of you and then realize how important that is. And then that motivates me just to play even harder.
Josh Iwanchina, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, good. I make sure I got that right. So, Josh of the Saskatoon Hilltops, what's the worst injury you've ever had playing football?
What was that, sorry?
What's the worst injury you've ever had playing football?
Worst injury? I did break my ankle once and then had to get surgery. So that's probably the worst by far. There's always something every season that happens, you know, little tweaks and stuff there, but that's definitely by far the worst.
Have you always been a running back, Josh? Because that is a very physical, demanding position.
Back when I started playing peewee ball way back in the day, I started with playing a DB, and then once we did a couple drills, like lane drill was the kind of one where I shined. They threw me the ball a few times and scored every time I got the ball, and that's where they kind of converted me. So ever since Bantam football is where I became a running back, and then, yeah, all through high school, and then until now, I guess.
What do you like best about this sport, Josh?
The physicality of it. Way back from my coaches back in the Kinsman Football League, they always told me, like, to not be afraid, like, not be afraid about hitting those big guys. Like, they may be bigger, but you're faster kind of thing. And just the physicality of it, the team that is the team spirit and the brotherhood that comes with it as well. It's just, it's just, like, I live around it. It's awesome. It's what I get up in the morning to do, what I go to bed sleeping about. So it's awesome.
The parents come to watch you play? They follow in your career?
Yeah, all the time. Drive me to and from. And then now they come out to, I mean, they don't watch all practices and stuff, but definitely every game they make it out to. Some of those further games, like in Winnipeg, you know, definitely not ideal for them. So, but they're always streaming at home and always keeping up with it. So, yeah, the support has definitely been awesome.
How does mom like her boy play in the physical position and having the ankle injuries and such?
Definitely scares the hell out of her. Every time I go down, you know, breath stops a little bit and always running down to see if I'm okay. But I think at this point she's realizing that with me and my brother both playing that it's just a part of the game. It happens. And nothing's really going to stop me at this point. No injury can, because I'm going to heal up and come back no matter what.
Forgive me for my ignorance. Your brother younger, older than you, where's he playing?
Older brother. Yeah, he's in his fifth and final year.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay,
yeah,
what's his position?
He's a slot back.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, forgive me. I got 14 leagues in my head trying to do this podcast. So, do you guys have a close relationship?
Yeah, it is very close, and football has definitely brought us that much closer. It's a little bittersweet this year kind of playing with him because, you know, it is his last and final year, so I won't be able to continue that next year with him. But, I mean, for as long as we've been here, it's always nice having that guy you can always turn to when things are going rough or when one of us are having a bad practice, you know, always somebody you could turn to and talk to and then, you know, tell us things to other than another player you just don't have quite that relationship with. So it's definitely been real awesome for me that I just have someone like that to play and practice with.
Josh Iwanchina here joining us here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, and we thank him for taking a couple of minutes as he's headed off to practice here as we tape this interview. You work too? Where do you work?
I'm at the lubrication station doing oil changes here.
Ah.
Working 10-hour days and then get that last day off. So I get my 40 hours in during the week and then get that Friday off to go to physio. And then, you know, I'm ready for the weekend for game time.
How fast can you change oil?
Pretty fast. I guess, I mean, the fastest full service that we hear that I've done totally, probably about 7 minutes. We had them paid out and in and out of there and through the doors. So.
So are you underneath the car or you greet me when I come in?
I'm mainly the upper tech, mainly the guy upstairs.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Okay, yeah. Josh, back to your brother. He's a fifth year, and I know talking to Sarge a couple of times, he said the one thing is we always gear our team to kind of to promote or uphold the fifth year guys? Do you find it your obligation to make sure your brother goes out on top as a champion? I know you want to win, but do you kind of feel a bit of a pressure or a duty, I guess a better word to put it, to help your brother win a championship in his last year?
Oh, honestly, yeah. Ever since I joined this team, started to always preach about playing for your fifth year, and I think that's where we definitely show our best football, is during that playoff time where he really preaches it at every practice, that we gotta, like, these guys got us here, so we gotta play for them. And I feel like playing for myself, you know, it's kind of so-so, but when I find myself playing for other people, like especially 50 years, and having my brother there this year, I mean, I feel like I won't be able to be stopped. It's just one of those things that just motivates you that much more to do it for someone else. And every play, you got to grind up for those guys, because, I mean, they put in their time already. I'm just taking along here, hoping to do it for those guys. So
you're in your third year. You've won two championships in a row. Your team is going for five in a row. Your brother, wouldn't that be amazing? Your brother would play his entire career with the Hilltops and win every year. That's actually unbelievable. But how do you guys not get complacent? How doesn't it get, like, how do you keep it from getting boring? Like, it's, most people from the outside will look at it and go, oh yeah, we're the Hilltops are 7-0. Yeah, they're going for their fifth championship. It's boring as hell. How do you guys stop from having that mentality?
To be honest with you, Sarge puts us in a place, you know, every day. He'll bring us down and he'll tell us that, you know, the kids that we're playing aren't, and we're not as good as we are. He knows we can do better. And the teams that we're playing, you know, are great teams. We got great coaching staff. They're a good defense. Guys the same age as you, you know, like, these guys are out there to compete, and every game that they play is, like, damn near a championship game for them, because they know that we're one of the top dogs out there. So, I mean, they're going to play their best ball against us. So whatever games that we watch on film, they're going to bring it, you know, even more against us. So we just got to prepare that much more and, you know, humble ourselves that way.
Josh Iwanchina, last question for you. What do you got to do to fire things up in the playoffs and drive for five? Because this is money time. It's nice to get these awards 4 weeks in a row, but they mean diddly squat when we kick it off for real this weekend. So what do you got to do to take this opponent out here in week one of the playoffs and roll to another championship?
Yeah, exactly. It's nice having these things going through, you know, the regular season, all this and that, play of the week. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's not about stats anymore. It's just about wins. You know, play after play, playing for the guy next year, you know, especially your fifth years. And that's how you have to play every play. It's just like, you got to have those guys in the back of your mind, giving it your all. Because, you know what, if you lose that game and you look yourself in the mirror and you could have done something better, you could have done something to win that game, you know, it's definitely a regret you'll probably hold on for the rest of your life. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, make that not happen and move on forward and get this drive for five. So we're going to focus one week at a time. We can't think about making it to the final yet, because we've got some pretty big opponents ahead of us. And yeah, we got to prepare like each one could be our last.
I think I saw you have long locks out of your helmet. Am I right about that?
You are correct.
Have you ever been have you ever been tackled by the hair?
Not directly on my hair, but it's definitely been pulled several times. You know, especially for playoffs, it's been a little tradition for me to get some cornrows done. So you kind of expel that factor a little bit, get it all nice and tight, so no one can, you know, grab onto those things.
Didn't you see Jadeveon Clowney tackle that guy from behind, Ivory, and pull his hair? He pulled him down by his one cornrow. Like, aren't you worried
just
about that?
One.
What happens if you run? What happens if Josh Iwanchina is running for a touchdown and it's a championship game and a guy yanks your hair and you fumble the ball? Like, shouldn't you cut your hair short for the playoffs, dude?
If that happens, I swear, if that happens, you know, I would. I would not let my hair get in the way of it.
It's too late. It's too late then, man.
So true. It's been working for me so far. So, you know, until something happens, then we'll think about getting rid of it. But until then, I'm going to let it fly.
You're like Samson. That's your power. I get it, man. Hey, good luck in the playoffs, and you're a joy to watch and a pleasure to talk to. And you know what? For your sake, I hope you go on a nice playoff run here. For your brother's sake, too.
Yeah, I agree. Me as well.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, my thanks to Jim Mullen for joining me and talking about the Rams situation and the debacle at the U Sports level. They never seem to be able to get it right, and I don't think they ever will. And that's just sad for all the athletes, amateur athletes playing university sports here in this country. Like I said, they treat it barely better than a participation sport, which is an absolute joke, and somebody should be fired. Like, really, somebody should be fired, either at the U of R or over there at U Sports or both. It's an absolute debacle. What a disgrace. Want to thank, of course, the Hilltops and the Thunder for providing me with guests here for the podcast. Good luck to both teams. Hopefully they can win in round one of the PFC playoffs, and then they'll meet in the PFC championship, which would be another doozy. I always love those provincial rivalries. And if you want me to follow a story or you want to sponsor this podcast, you can get in contact with me at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Want to thank my sponsors, Wheel Estate, along with the Pizza Huts in Saskatoon, and Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage. We'll talk to you soon.